Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it. Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show, episode 237. Losing focus from talking and focal point for max performance. I tried to fit everything into this title. The questions today are really long and involved and kind of burning down the essence of these into this title is one of the things I accomplished as I was prepping for the show. Took a few minutes, took a few rewrites, took a few edits, but managed to pull it off. I hope that you understand what we're going to get into. You'll see the questions soon as we dig into the show. Most major announcement about the last few days is that yesterday we didn't have an Ask Weldon show because I had a live training session, dual training session with a trading like a professional trading card games player and who had performance anxiety. And I did the training session with a guy named Melixia, who is another like personal development streamer also. So that was super fun, and I've got it downloaded. I've also got it uploaded on YouTube fully, but I haven't posted the full one because I want to clip out just the training session, and I want to maybe add some chapters to do with topics. We'll see. Anyway, I don't know, but look for that YouTube video. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. I'll try to get it up. We'll see. I think that if you have any curiosity over sports psychology or what happens in a sports psychology session, that this would be a little bit of insight. All right, no other really big announcements. We could jump into the show. All right, as always, this is the Ask Weldon Show. My name is Weldon, and this is the show where you ask me questions. Call them in on Anchor. So basically, Anchor isn't like a podcasting app, but you can use it to send me audio messages, which sound fantastic, by the way, because of whatever it is that they do to make the audio sound good. And you have to install an app, of course. You have to start an account, of course. I apologize for that. They're not a sponsor or anything, and it is a heinous thing to ask, but it's really worth it because the audio question intake thing is so easy on Anchor. Like, I have a web page, all of the questions are there, they're all labeled, they all show who they're from, I can play them, I can stop them, I can add them to episodes, I can remove them from episodes. It's just all super, super easy. They're organized, I have them forever. So please send me your questions on Anchor, and I only have about 5 days of questions left, so 5 shows before I run out. So make sure if you ever had something you wanted to ask me, start thinking about sending it in the next few days to get it on the show. All right, let's jump into the first question, which is from Thales.
Good evening, Weldon. I'd like to ask you a question about transferring performance from solo queue to scrims and organized team play. I've noticed recently that I tend to make very uncharacteristic mistakes when I have to communicate through voice as opposed to when I'm playing ranked on my own. What measures do you suggest me to take in order to prevent that from happening?
Okay, so this is a pretty simple one. Essentially, your ability to execute and concentrate on a skill when you are fully focused on it versus your ability to talk and do the same thing. Those are like two separate skills, okay? And most of the time, you're probably training the skill where you do the thing when you're thinking about it and not do the thing when you're talking to somebody. So I want you to imagine that, like, doing an Ezreal trade into a Syndra, in the mid lane at level 7 when you just swap to mid and you're trying to contest the wave, that this skill is one skill that you've learned. And that doing an Ezreal trade into Syndra, you know, at level 7 when you just swapped to mid and you're contesting the wave, while you're talking to your team, is a different skill. So you can be good at one and bad at the other. And you're good at the one that you practice. So, generally speaking, it's good to practice the one where you're talking with people if you want to get better at that. And then that's all there is to it. Yeah. So, once you wrap your head around the paradigm of this is a skill and I have to train it, then you will be more focused and intentioned when you are actually training it. When you're talking, you'll be kind of like trying harder on the skills that you're doing while you're talking, and you won't do things, you won't do stupid things like, why am I messing this up? I know how to do this when you're talking, because you'll think, but I don't know how to do this. I know how to do this when I'm not communicating, but I don't know how to do it when I am communicating, because that's a different skill in the brain. And you won't do things like, shut up, I need to concentrate. You won't tell people to stop talking so that you can do something well, because you'll take the opportunity to communicate with them in order to train yourself to do the skills that you need while communicating. So I think that there's a number of good benefits to forcing yourself to communicate and to learn the skills again. One of those being that, generally speaking, if you can do the skill while you're talking, doing it while you're not talking is like free. But it doesn't go the other way around, because you're getting more complex. You're using more cognitive resources, essentially, in the second scenario. Yeah, that's all there is to it, I think. I had rookies who came in, you know, and who couldn't really communicate at all, couldn't talk during the game, or their play level would go way down. We just forced them to communicate, and eventually they matched their skill levels. All right, let's jump into question number two. Thank you, Thales, for that question. Glad that I was able to help. Hope that that was helpful as well, of course. All right, this question is from Tim.
All right, seriously, how do you function on 40 hours of no sleep? I can't get by with like 6 hours of sleep the next day. Actually, it's not the next day. It's the day after that that really sucks. But if I don't get enough sleep, I'm toast. And, you know, I used to be able to when I was younger. But I'm, you know, getting close to 40, sad to say. But, yeah. Like, when you talk about going for 40 hours with no sleep and still being able to do a, you know, Twitch show, I am flabbergasted. How do you manage that? How do you keep yourself moving? I would have died, you know, 24 hours prior to.
Lots and lots of coffee. It's not really an intentional thing. It's just like, I'm traveling back from Berlin, and I had to get up at 4:30 to stream in Berlin. And then, in order to save money, because I live in central Finland, I take the bus. Sometimes I take the bus back from the hospital. Sorry, not the hospital. Sometimes I take the bus back from the airport. So that's like a 4-hour bus ride, and it leaves at midnight, and it's hard to sleep on. So then I just happen to be up from midnight to 4, and then, you know, and I can't really go to sleep waiting for the bus in the airport, because I would miss the bus, probably. And I don't want to get my stuff stolen, so I'm kind of just kind of drowsing in the corner. Sometimes I'll take like a cat nap, but not a real cat nap, you know, because my one eye open kind of thing. And then I get on the bus, and then generally speaking, I try to sleep, but doesn't usually work. So I usually just drink coffee and work, you know, like do social media or something. And then I get home and it's 4, so I just stream. So, yeah. Just kind of happens. Thanks to travel. Unfortunate reality of travel. I'm pretty good at sleeping on airplanes. Thank goodness. But that whole, like, transition, like when it's a short hop, so I don't have time to sleep, so we're just hopping from Berlin to somewhere else, from Berlin to Helsinki, for example, and then I have to wait and then catch a midnight bus back, and then, yeah, so that usually just kind of screws my whole day. But yeah, just lots and lots of coffee. Last question is from Nexus.
Hey, Alden, I wanted to get your opinion on what I should focus on screen and game in Overwatch. Sometimes I feel like if I stare at my crosshair or the enemy model, I end up fixating and lose track of cooldowns and my peripheral vision, especially on DPS. But if I try to not focus on anything, my actual performance goes down. What do you think I should do?
All right, fantastic question. The answer is, to be completely clear, the answer is we do not know yet. Okay. So there are some facts about the vision cone that we do know. We do know that when you're in a fixated state, it's worse for performance. So when you see an opponent and you have blinders on and you don't see anything else, that your performance drops. And when you're in a flow state, which is a high-performing automatic state that is kind of defined as flow, it has a bunch of other attributes as well. Generally speaking, you see more of the screen. So you are focused on different parts of the screen, but your attention is shifting rapidly. So what appears to be happening is that you're fully focused on the place you're looking, but you're not fixated on it. So you're able to freely shift your attention to whatever point you want. This is basically called mindfulness or flow state or attentional flow. And the other thing that we know is that people have a vision cone, meaning that their eyes shift within a certain radius on the screen. And as you fatigue, the vision cone shrinks. It gets smaller and smaller. So the people are less and less able to notice variables or distractions or things on the screen outside of that vision cone. And of course, in the lab, they're testing this using colored dots and stuff blinking on screen. So it's not the same as an esport where you're keyed up and you're looking for a specific shape of like a gun sticking out of a corner on the edge of the screen, etc., when you're fatigued. But generally speaking, this vision cone is predictive in lab experiments. So you could say that it is better to have a roaming focus with a wider range as possible, and that the most important thing is that your attention is flowing and that you have great control over it and can direct it towards whatever you're looking at. So I think the answer to your question is going to be, at some point in the future, I think the question is going to be that you focus on what you need to pay attention to at that time to win. So you focus on, generally speaking, the most important, like where you're aiming, and you don't get distracted by other things. You focus on a particular fight, looking for a specific moment. And more importantly, you have the capability of shifting your focus to other things. So you're noticing things in your periphery and then shifting your focus to them as rapidly and as freely as possible. And that you have as wide a vision cone as possible, meaning that you're able to more often collect this peripheral information, process it, and decide whether or not you shift your focus there fully. That would be my guess. So there's not a lot of things that you can control in that answer, unfortunately. I think that, generally speaking, you can train mindfulness. So you can do a seated meditation, and then you can expand that into like open monitoring, which is eventually the style of Vipassana meditation that mindfulness is based on, which has to deal with like allowing your attention and your thoughts to flow. But the training spillover for that into attentional flow isn't, like, the dose response seems to be really high to modify attention. It seems like you need a certain amount of it before amazing things happen in the brain. But a little bit, you kind of have like two thresholds. A little bit if you've done nothing, a little bit is amazing. Then after that, you kind of have to keep up that doing that little bit to keep that little amazing jump at the beginning. But you don't get like a superpower jump until, I don't know, like thousands of hours of meditation, right? So kind of like do enough mindfulness meditation to keep your little like push up from nothing to the first amazing sauce bump in your attentional regulation. And then if you're really ambitious, start doing it for your 10-year plan of being a pro esport athlete, I guess. And then aside from like out-of-game training of attentional flow, I think that in-game training would probably look something like making sure anytime you're fixated that your eyes start roaming again, making sure that you have like an open awareness of the whole screen and you're not fixated on a single point, and then you're able to shift your attention. Remember, your eyes kind of see something and they can point to something, but your attention in your brain can be either paying attention to that thing or it can be thinking about something else completely. Like the mistake you made 5 seconds ago, or the fact that you left the oven on downstairs and you realize that your pizza's not in it yet and the game is heavily underway and you're like, dang it, this is going to be over and it's not going to be cooked yet. Or the fact that you left the pizza in the oven, it's actually finished and now it's probably burning. And you're like, do I finish the game or do I save the house? Or it could be on your teammate who's like cursing you out and you're trying to think of what to say, and also you're a little bit vulnerable and injured because you're doubting the veracity of your own claims that you're the best, and kind of like thinking maybe he's right, maybe you are trash because you're doing pretty bad this game and you're really frustrated by that, and your kind of identity and your competence are taking a hit, and you're thinking about all of that. So where your eyes are looking, your brain is not. And that's kind of what you got to fix first. So you got to get your brain to look and focus on what you're focusing on. Then you have to have the ability to like shift that around. And my guess would be that would be as simple as paying attention to what you're focusing on, instead of paying attention to the random thoughts that are popping up in your head related to unrelated to specific performance. Obviously, planning for the future in tactical thinking is a fine kind of line of thought. All right, guys, that's the show for today. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to check out the show live 7:30 or 8 p.m. LA time on my channel, Mind Games Weldon, which is over on the Amazon-owned streaming service, whose name I will not say in this YouTube video. And make sure to check out the Mac program. You'll find the code below, mindgames.gg/MAC, code AskWeldon. This is the training session product that I sell online for 50 online training videos teaching mental resilience for mindfulness-based performance enhancement. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys next time. That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.